a time of faith and a time of prayer. The world is in chaos. But God's word, which is forever settled in heaven, is meant to and does encourage us. I hope you stay with me today for not my words, but God's words to his people will bring encouragement. In the fourth chapter of the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul is talking about the faith of Abraham. And that's not the whole message today, but let's just open and start in the 16th verse, where it says, "Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace unmerited favor, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all." Wow. I could give you 10 hours on that one, but that's not the subject today. Let's go on. As it is written, "I have made thee a father of many nations." He has no kids. "Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were." Now, he's talking about Abraham, who against hope believed in hope, that he might be the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken. Who spoke it? God. What did God say? "So shall thy seed be." "And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own dead body when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb." You know, we're talking about a guy who's 100. We're talking about a woman whom all her life bore no children. The description is deadness of her womb. But God said to Abraham, "By Sarah shall thy seed be." God said it. It was a promise of God. And it goes on to say, "He," that is Abraham, "staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief." Folks, it doesn't say that Abraham didn't stagger. It doesn't say that we won't stagger. In fact, you know, let's be frank. This nation is staggering. This world is staggering. But what saith the word? He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He didn't stagger. The Greek is through apistis. He didn't stagger through non-faith. He might have been staggering, but not through non-faith. But was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he, that is God, had promised, he was able to perform. God had promised. That was not only Abraham's hope, but it was that on which Abraham acted. You read the story. Abraham, after he heard it, he said, through that old woman? And when Sarah heard it, she laughed. She said, am I going to have pleasure again? This was no immaculate conception. This was God empowering people, Abraham and Sarah, the mother and father of faith, empowering people by faith. Look, this is not a Pollyanna message. I'm not denying the reality of what's going on in the world, this coronavirus. But I am attempting to continue to encourage faith. Now, this week, and I'll give all credit to God. I do, even as it says in that fourth chapter, we continue to give glory to God. But I came across this verse in the 26th chapter of the book of Isaiah. Here's the text. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut the doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. Who's speaking here? It's God. And he says, come, my people, Ami. My people. How many of you know the etymology of the word, the English word, church? At its root means a people who belong to the Lord. Now the Lord speaking here, come, my people. Is this context for what's going on today? Enter into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpast. I'm curious, I was curious about this word indignation. And Webster's tells us it comes from the Latin. It's a noun. It means displeasure at whatever seems unworthy or base. Anger mingled with contempt, disgust, or abhorrence. Righteous scorn. Enter into thy chambers. Shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. Be assured, folks, this is not the wrath of God being poured out on the earth that's spoken of in the book of Revelation and other apocalyptic end times, if you will, books. But I have no doubt the way God's people, that he calls my people, have had their eyes on so many other things, being influenced by influences other than his word, being influenced by things other than God's promises and acting upon them, which is faith. God says, hide thyself, as it were, for a little while, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. Have there been times in history when God, who is the creator of all, has had indignation with his people? It's spoken of several times in many ways throughout the scripture. Isaiah 54:7 says, again, 54, Isaiah 54 is about God's people, Israel. Again, not the subject today. I'm just making a statement of fact. Most people don't even know who Israel is today. But let's look at what the scripture says. It says in 54:7, for a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies I will gather thee. The eighth verse says, in a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment. But with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. In Psalm 30, verse 5, King James translation says, "For his anger endureth but for a moment," and "endureth but" is in italics. It's added by the translators. Let's read it the way it says. "For his anger, a moment. In his favor, life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy in the morning." Second Corinthians, fourth chapter, 13th verse, says, "We, having the same spirit of faith," same spirit of faith that the father of faith, Abraham, had, that the mother of faith, Sarah, had, "but we, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. We also believe, therefore, and therefore speak. Faith cometh by hearing." 10th chapter says, "For with the heart man believeth, and with the mouth proclamation is made unto salvation." Speaking God's promises from the heart with faith. We speak. Let's continue on. "I believe, therefore I have spoken. We also believe, therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake." And how many of you know the literal rendering of one of the most popular verses of the Bible, Romans 8:28, says, "God enters in to all things to work his good to them that are called, to them that are loving God." Back to 2 Corinthians 4:15. "For all things are for your sake, that the abundance of grace through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man..." How many times in recent days have we spoke of this? The inward man literally is being renewed day by day. 17th verse. "For our light affliction, our moment of indignation, for the moment of God hiding his face, for the moment of his anger, for our light affliction is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding weight of glory. God has caused us, has called us, that we might spend eternity with God. If your God is so small that you're staggering at things that you see, set your eyes on things that are eternal. Set your eyes on Jesus. For in him are all the promises of God, yea, and in him, amen. That is, in Jesus, no doubt. Now God says in Isaiah, come, my people, enter into thy chamber. And shut the door. Jesus, in the 6th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, says, when you pray, enter into your closet and pray unto your Father in secret. So, what do? When we enter into our chamber, when we're being shut up in our own houses, I've heard all kinds of things to do while you're being quarantined, if you will. I haven't heard anybody say pray. But Jesus said, when you enter into your closet, pray to your Father in secret. Come, my people, enter into thy chamber, hide thyself, and pray unto your Father in secret. In the book of 2 Chronicles, in the 7th chapter, in the 14th verse, God speaking. Now let's go to the 12th verse first. It says, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I've heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. Listen to God. If I shut up the heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among the people, among the people. Now listen to what God says. If my people, if my church if my people, which is called by my name, shall humble themselves. If my people, not Republicans, not Democrats, not liberals, not conservatives, not Catholics, not Assemblies of God, not Baptists, or any other description other than how God describes us, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, get rid of all this stuff, and look unto your God, who has called you by his name, if they humble themselves, this is a time of humiliation. And the way one gets humbled is to be humiliated, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, whatever ways those might be, then and turn from their wicked ways, oh, we like sheep have gone astray. Everyone to his own way, and turn from their wicked ways. How many of you know the word repent in the Greek is metanoia, have a new mind? That's part of that inner man, inward man being renewed day by day. A new mind. God said it. My people. Then, God says, I will hear from heaven. What does he say first? I'll forgive their sin. It's not this outward stuff being affected that's most important to God. It's not the coronavirus that's being emphasized by God. He says, I will forgive their sin. And will heal their land. Think on God's word. Act on God's word. And pray. You people who are called by God, my people. And that's the God School for today.